Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul. Ha! Fooled you there, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we have Butch on today as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, December 10th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Didn't cough all day long. Maybe I'm allergic to this program. You think so, maybe?
That's probably me.
You think?
Yeah, you probably allergic to me.
maybe, baby.
See, you cough again. Maybe I need to change deodorant.
Actually, it just dawned on me today that I had a peanut about an hour ago, and that's when I started coughing. I wonder if I'm getting allergic to peanuts. I hope
not. A lot
of
people are. I mean, really, people could die from it, seriously.
Well, there would go my peanut butter. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yes, you've heard all about my ills and wills and so forth. Let's get started right away with gold. And gold today, let's see, why is it not loading? Everyone knows my problems with computers. Gold, $12.44, down $4.30. Silver today was down 8 cents at $14.60. Platinum was down 10 at 787. Palladium managed to gain $2 today at 1231. And the USDX today is up 0.40 at 97.20. Crude oil is up $1.76 at 50. I'm sorry, down $1.76 at 50.85. The paper markets today, let me bring those up. It was early morning trade. It was down 500 points, but it was reversed considerably, up 32 points.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Wow.
So
now tell me that's not a fix.
You know, it tumbled briefly below the 24,000. 24,000, and before it staged a huge comeback, but it's up. It was up 100 points earlier, so it couldn't keep the 100 points. So the Dow was up 32 points at 24,421. The NASDAQ was up 51 at 7,020. The S&P was up 4 at 2,637. 10-year yield up 0.01 at 2.86%. Japan down over 2%. All Europe was down. The Brexit is a no exit they were supposed to vote on it tomorrow, but it was all pulled. We'll talk about that later on in the program.
Yes,
and Bitcoin was down another 3% at 3,401. Again, there's concerns in the markets, but certainly no panic. And let's go ahead and see if there was any. I mean, there was a lot of interesting news today, but a lot of it is much the same.
Well, let me ask you this question, Melanie, please. Before we move off the markets, got an article here that it says NASDAQ plunges into red for 2018, worst year in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
That did that rebound enough to get out of that?
No, we're still down considerably, and we have these markets. We'll see what it finally ends up at the end of the year, but we do go into interest rates, so that could bring things back temporarily. I don't know. There's just so many things going on, so much uncertainty out there, and I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I think 2019 is going to be certainly far more volatile than what we've seen in the past.
Well, isn't the market down? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The market, the bubble, the global debt bubble is breaking. It's burst. It's already broke.
It is.
And it doesn't mean, and everybody thinks that it's all going to fall apart in one day. Well, that's not necessarily the case. I believe eventually the big deal, yeah, we're going to wake up one day to a brand new world. But there's a lot of things that happen before we get to that point. You get a lot of knee-jerk reactions. You get a lot of money moving around. You get a lot of plunge protection teamwork. You get a lot of this and a lot of that before we get to that point.
Well, what was the Dow record high this early this year? What was the record high? 27-something?
No, it was 26.
26?
Yeah. I don't have 26-something,
right?
26, yes.
Okay, now it's a 24?
Correct.
That's still a 2,000-point drop.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean
yes,
that's it. That you call that correction, can you?
if you look at a lot of the S&P, a lot of the stocks, yes, are in correction territory already.
I would think so. That's a substantial drop. Now, there was a time back when the Dow was 8,000 and 10,000. That would have been a heck of a hit. You don't notice as much now because the numbers are much higher, but the numbers still, as you were back in, when it's 10,000, numbers are still fake. They don't mean anything. They're just
numbers.
They don't
mean anything.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get heavy there, but it kind of makes me angry the way they play this country like a fiddle.
That's true, but you know what? People fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
Every day.
So, you know, hey, if they can do it, they're going to do it. They put people to a point where there's no choice. They don't have, you know, they've convinced people that their employer should be their retirement, that you should, you know, depend on your employer, to provide you with that retirement pension. And I heard numbers the other day, 30 years ago, you had the pensions covered like, 60% of the people. That's where the retirement now, it's like 20% in the 20s. I mean, it has dropped considerably. So people don't have retirement accounts like we once had. Well, people don't work jobs anymore for 40 years.
That's true.
And 30 years, you know. My family, my cousin and her husband, they work for Tyco. It's been various names, but right now it's Tyco. You know, he finally retired, but he was there for 40 years. She's been there for 40 years. That's rare. That's rare in today's
world.
And I was shocked at what they told me, what they pay. You know, being there for 40 years and their wages, certainly above minimum wage, but these are management people and team leader people and so forth. And, I was a little surprised that they didn't, that they only made what they made. But so wages, certainly are not equal to what your value is in today's world. We've had, with the tax cuts and the regulatory rollbacks this year, it did fuel small business optimism to hit its highest level in decades. But it also looks like it's beginning to cool. After hitting a record high in the third quarter, the small business confidence index declined from 62 to 59.
Yep.
It doesn't seem like a lot. But all of a sudden, we now have this reversal. And it's certainly led by small moves lower in the components across the board. Now, this new data from CNBC and SurveyMonkey underscores the idea that while sentiment is at or near record highs, there are still challenges still remain for Main Street. And this comes at a time, the dip comes at a time when the markets are punctuated by bouts of volatility and concerns over the trade tensions. And yes, you can even include shortage of skilled workers. So it is kind of interesting that just 34% of small business owners now say that tax policy changes will have a positive effect for them in the next 12 months. And that was down from a high of 46% kicking off this year.
These numbers sometimes are confusing, Mel. I mean, they really are. I mean, the market comes down 2,000 points over a period of a few weeks. Business optimism is dripping. Yeah, but that too. But dipping over fears of economic slowdown. But yet, according to another article here, the job opening surged to 7.1 million with only 1.1 million workers unemployed. That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that. I don't get that. After the jobs openings and labor turnover survey, the report record prints for virtually every notable labor market series for August, followed by a modest slowdown in September, there was another push higher across most labor market indicators in October. According to the BLS, after downwards revision in September, job openings from 7.9 million to 6.96 million. In October, this number surged 119,000 to 7.79 million, the second highest number of job openings on record. I don't get it. My mind isn't grasping this. Job openings, does that include McDonald's and all that too?
Well, this includes the underskilled workers, I believe, is what they include in that.
Okay, so it's, you know, it's like McDonald's and maybe, you know, other fast food or restaurants with waitresses. They're just counting all jobs, period.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I was kind of curious about that because maybe there are more minimum wage jobs, and that's good. I'm always glad to see that. But it isn't. Most of those jobs are not paying living wages, we call it today. But, you know, I've thought about that over the years, Bill. What's a living wage? If you learn a little bit of discipline, you can live a lot less than you think can't you?
Yes.
You know, so not, I mean, if you're not one to go in debt and buy everything, if you learn to balance a budget, and I've done that for years, know you have too. I've had time my budget wasn't balanced, I didn't have enough money, but I've always made it by the grace of God. But what I'm saying is, living wage is what you get to live on. And I know some people are really struggling. And I know because of inflation, what you balance this month doesn't balance again next month, does it?
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm seeing all the conflict here, and it's sometimes kind of confusing and frustrating.
Well,
I just want to make those points.
Well, you know, it all kinds of makes sense when you see the amount of personal debt that the people are accruing, you know, in order to do anything. I mean, you know, even if they have, you know, they're not happy anymore just sitting at home. They're not happy anymore just sitting around that dinner table sharing a meal with family. You know, you either have to go out, you have to be busy. We've been, you know, conditioned to be busy.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
So when people are busy, you spend money.
Well,
so, you know, their wages.
When I was growing up, vacations were rare. I mean, we took time off to take a picnic on, you know, Sunday afternoon or something. But vacations, everybody thinks you have to go on vacation for 2 weeks a year or whatever. Back then, we didn't do that. And if Dad took a vacation, they'd generally work around the house, and we'd take a week off, go swimming and different things. But we didn't have vacation like we do today. Today, people think they're really nice for vacation. But we didn't have vacations.
Well,
I remember that growing up. We went to the beach one time when I was 16 years old. We went to Norfolk. That's where my uncle was stationed in the Navy. And that's the furthest we ever went on vacation when I was a young boy.
Well, that was in the... What age was that?
that back in the 1800s.
But I mean, things have changed, and there is more money, and wages did increase, but so did inflation. But here we are today.
Yep.
People's money aren't buying what it did. And so really, if you take away, and you're right, if you took away everything that they could really, if they lived on their true wages, they wouldn't be going on vacations anymore. They wouldn't be taking the families to Disneyland. You know, all of that is by debt. But this is how we've conditioned that and I think it's, you know, for those that can afford it, it's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful that they can take their families and so forth to Disneyland trips and everything like that. But there's a large part of Americans that were left behind. And, you know, that their wages didn't rise, their purchasing power didn't maintain. And if it's all on paper anyway,
true.
What difference does it? You know, it's just paper.
Very
so,
true.
You know, things have really been blown out of, you know, proportion as far as reality in this world. And hey, you know, you hear people say debt doesn't matter until it does. And you know what? Maybe that's the case. You can continue to create debt in your family life until you lose that job, and then all of a sudden that debt matters. You know, it becomes
a
problem.
I just, you know, to me, it's just, and I know that I'm different than a lot of people. I realize that. But by the grace of God, I've always managed to make it on what I've earned. And sometimes I work three jobs at a time. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling what I had to do. But we made it. We worked hard for it, but we made it. But we learned to live within our means. If we hadn't, we would have been up a creek, and you know, without a paddle, so to speak. So we've done real well comparatively. We're not in debt any longer. That's always good, isn't it?
It's of course it's good. It's always great to not to have any of that debt, because there's a program I can't remember the gentleman's name who talks about debt all the time and help it, you know, tells you. I think he's more of an encouraging voice out there to say, hey, you can do this, you can get out of debt, but you have to sacrifice.
Yes, you do.
And that's, you know, nobody wants to sacrifice anything anymore. you know, I see it, you know, people, you know, when you go to the, go shopping, do you see people truly sacrificing to do a good job? It's rare. It's rare. People show up and, you know, expect it, and then they want these big wages. Well, you know, whatever happened to about earning a good wage and working for it and so forth? I mean, I'm not here to preach or anything, but, you know, these certainly are, we're in different times.
Well, you truly are. And I want to, this is off the topic of for a minute of financing, but I think it's important. You may saw this. Now, this is, folks, this is no joke. This is for real. Brain transparency. AI expert warns against losing jobs over thoughts. I'm not making this up. This is for real. A leading expert on the ethical, legal, and social implications of bioscience has revealed her concerns over handling over the control of our minds. Scientists warn people can lose jobs through brain decoding. Neither Farahani has detailed her fears artificial intelligence in the workplace could lead to the loss of jobs over employees' thoughts. Now, this sounds far-fetched, but it's really true. She revealed how more and more companies are looking into the idea of making EEG devices a compulsory part of their uniform. The wearable headset, which can be used to monitor alertness, productivity, and mental state, is already being used in China. Trained drivers on Beijing Shanghai High Speed Rail are required to wear the technology, and according to some reports in government-run factories in China, the employees are required to wear EEG sensors to monitor their productivity too. Workers are even sent home if their brains show less than stellar concentration on their jobs or emotional agitation. Soon, workers could have their concentration levels monitored. And she will say, I worry that people will self-censor in fear of being ostracized in society, or that people will lose their job because of their waning attention or emotional instability, or because they're contemplating collective action against their employers. That coming out will no longer be an option, because people's brains long ago have revealed their sexual orientation, their political ideology, or their religious preferences well before they are really ready to consciously share the information with other people. I worry about the ability of our laws to keep up with technological change. Take the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which protects freedom of speech. Does it also protect freedom of thought? Now, that, Melody, that's scary. They're actually doing that in China.
It really is scary, isn't it?
I mean, is that part of the beast system or not?
Seems to me like it is.
Certainly is. They see, they read your mind. They're saying your thoughts. Wow.
Are you reading my thought right now?
It's break time, isn't it?
It's break time.
All right, I'll do right. It. All right.
You're good. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And specials galore here at Discount Gold and Silver. And we have Silver Eagles. And I think it's about time we can start locking in the 2019 Silver Eagles if you'd like to go ahead and do so. But again, remember that the delivery for those will not be until the second or third week in January. The U.S. Mint cannot release them prior to the current year. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. What else you got for us, Butch?
Well, you know, I was talking about that last article about the AI, it read your mind. Now, I say it wasn't financial, but it really is financial. If they send you home without pay because you're not your job, your mind not on the job, or they fire you because you're thinking something you shouldn't be thinking, or whatever the reason may be, that is financial. That affects you, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it would.
And in the United States, how would people keep their mind on anything? I mean, most of them are sitting at the desk with the cell phones on anyway. I'm serious, and they are. They're wasting time on cell phones, computers. If they put that in and force in the United States, half the workforce be out of work.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you know what? And you know what's interesting is how many employers, though, say to their employees, you can't use your cell phone during work. They all have them. They all have them on the desk.
They don't even do it during school.
Schools
let them be on cell phones in a school.
Heck, I remember we couldn't even chew gum.
No. And if you were caught whispering, you got in trouble.
You got in trouble. You said we were sent to the principal's office. But
I remember those days.
Yeah, I do too. So, you know, it's they prefer to control. They control many more with technology and AI than, of course, they can on an individual basis by watching,
of course.
You know, by saying, you know, so it's...
You know, of course, Phil Hudock. You know Phil Hudock often went and worked with ministry for years. He still teaches some. He said, there's some classes now that I will not teach. He said, they won't be controlled. I can't keep them in order. I won't teach them. I refuse to teach them because they're so out of order in that class. And he asked him, said, did your regular teacher let you do these things? And they said, yeah, we can do what we want to. And Phil just told the principal, I'm not going to teach this class anymore. Don't call me. Now, you cannot teach children who are unruly. You know that.
Teaching you.
That's exactly right. But another article I think is important, too, because you remember all the pro-life people getting all excited because we're going to have a new Supreme Court nominee by the name of Kavanaugh.
Yes.
And he was going to start saving unborn babies and get rid of Planned Parenthood. He was going to do everything that we just knew he would. And well, Supreme Court gives victory to Planned Parenthood in Medicaid case. Three of the court's conservatives said the court should have taken up the case, but Justice Kavanaugh and Chief Justice Roberts voted with the majority. Kavanaugh voted to keep the lower court's verdicts stand against the people and for Planned Parenthood. There you go, folks. There's one of your saviors. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday left lower court victories intact for Planned Parenthood in a legal battle with states over access by Medicaid patients to the group's services. The dispute did not involve abortion, which is murder, of course, but the action by the justice keeps a hot-button political issue off the docket. Three of the court's conservatives then said the court should have taken the case. After an anti-murder group released videos in 2015, it was on top of it. Anyway, the long story is the Supreme Court would not hear the case. So the Medicaid in states has to continue paying for murdering babies, although the states don't have to, people. They have rights over the federal government, but they're too afraid to stand up and do it. That's what started the war between the states in the first place, was states' rights. Not slavery, not anything else, but states' rights started the Civil War. But nonetheless, again, proven again that Kavanaugh, we were warned. I remember Chuck Baldwin wrote an article, what you don't know about Kavanaugh will hurt you. Well, folks, here we go. Kavanaugh, this backed Planned Parenthood. There's a great conservative judge that we had such a hard time getting in because people feared that this liberals feared he would turn into a conservative idiot. Well, the liberals could rest easy. They got exactly what they wanted. So,
you know,
at best a moderate.
Absolutely, and I think it's the same thing too when we see the Attorney General coming in from Bush's administration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's how is that going to change anything? How do you drain the swamp?
How's that drain the swamp?
You can't. Well, I never said you could drain the swamp, but highly unlikely. But,
no, I agree.
But I mean, you really can do it when you're hiring the swamp to come in and take over these various positions. So it's just. This isn't the only. You know, we'll have to see how he, votes. In the future on other things, but this is certainly an indication on.
Of course, it is. A big indication. Planned Parenthood was one of the big things Trump said going to defund, and he actually signed a bill some months back in September to fund it. I'm not making this up, people. I'm telling you the truth. And this article might be kind of interesting, too, because this can affect us, Bill. I'll ask your opinion on this title. 158 million migrants want to move to the U.S. Would that affect us any?
150 million?
158 million.
Where are they coming from?
The United States is a top pick by far for migrants seeking a new home, despite reports that President Trump policies are scaring people away, making countries like Canada and some in Europe the preferred choice. These are coming in. I just find the article in. But anyway, I'm trying to. There's 758 million worldwide that want to move. But 158 million of them chose U.S., 47 million chose Canada, 42 million chose Germany, 36 million Australia and France, 34 million the United Kingdom, 24 million Saudi Arabia, 21 million Spain, 17 million Japan, 15 million Italy. But number one was 158 million of these 758 million people want to move to the U.S. And they're from all over the world. They won't come here. And I mean, if they would come in like they're supposed to, and be absorbed in society and obey the laws of this nation, it could be a great boost to us as far as the population. Population growth doesn't worry me, Melody. It's who comes in that's going to suck off us, you and I, and live off us, and this happens every day. We'll cover that in just a minute. But 158 million is a lot of people, and if they all come in legally, we could see maybe something change for the better. I don't know, but a census confirms, now listen to this, a census confirms 63% of non-citizens, 63% of them are on welfare. 4.6 million households are being supported by us. Isn't that wonderful? 63% didn't come here to go to work. They come here to suck off us. How many millions of dollars is that, you reckon?
Quite a lot.
And it said it grows to 70% for those who are here 10 years or more. So if they've been longer than 10 years, it goes up to 70% instead of 63%. So this is a huge hit. I don't know how long we can keep this thing going, printing more and more money to the point that we're trying to cover all these debts, and we know it can't go on forever because we can't feed these people forever. These folks come over here and get free everything, and they haven't done a thing to put into the system. There's something wrong with that picture, and it has to be deliberately being done. They have to intentionally be trying to destroy the communist nation. There's no other way to explain it. It cannot be a random act. Just, oh, look what happened. Millie, this has been planned, has it not?
I believe it has. I think it's all part of an agenda to lower our standards of excuse me, our standards of living. And of course, we've seen it happening. People might have brand new houses out there and so forth, but it's all by debt. They have nice, pretty cars in their driveways, but it's all by debt. You know, so what is our standard of living? It's not debt. It's all, those are all promises to pay. It's not real.
And these people are tapping into welfare programs to get this out of there. And we have people here that are talking about cutting their so-called benefits. They're even talking about cutting security benefits. Those security benefits that we all paid into. They're even talking about cutting that.
And they're going to have to cut something. And that's just it. You have all these entitlements being paid out. I heard today that Trump wanted to give $750 billion to the Defense Department. It's like, well, they only requested... They requested a lot less than that, but President Trump said, "Oh no, you need $750 billion." And but my point is, the entitlements are going to have to fix it, and that's why you hear all the time about the senior citizens. You know, they're useless eaters. You know, they have all this stuff. They have all these pension plans. So, you know, why do we have to continue to pay Social Security? There's a whole bunch of IOUs in there anyway, and that's what they'll hit first, because, you know, we don't say anything.
That's let's face it, and a lot of people our age, I'm saying yours too, and older, are not able to do much about it. They're not even mentally and physically able. I mean, how many people do you know our age and maybe a little bit younger that are physically or even mentally handicapped because of how they live their lives? I mean, really. So we're the least likely to stand up and do anything, because most of them are not able to. And they know that. They know that.
They know that. You're right.
So that's where we are. So yeah, come and take their salaries. Their pensions. Come and take their cut Social Security. What's the big deal? I mean, that we need to let them die anyway. This, folks, I'm not making this up. This is a part of the planning for a long time. Useless eaters should not be fed. They should die. As a matter of fact, I read a while back that if you have what they consider a terminal disease, and that's any disease that you can't live 6 months without medicine. I don't care if it's diabetes or what it may be. They think that you're terminal, and they should let you die. I'm not making this up. This is all fact. So you better look around and see what's happening. And I'm not telling you that you can stop it, but you better be preparing for your future, yours, and maybe your children's. But right now, and this, I don't mean to sound selfish, but it is what it is, you better make sure that you and your wife are able to eat 5 years from now if you're still alive. And you're not going to do that by buying stocks and bonds. Gold and silver, absolutely. Store of food, absolutely. A water filter, absolutely. Well, I may not need it. Well, if you don't need it, honey, eat it anyway. I mean, you can't go wrong buying food. You can always sell gold and silver again. But I'm just telling you that from what I'm seeing, and I know you see it too, Melody, they better prepare, hadn't they?
They should. They need to, because it's, and you know, we, over the years, people tell me, well, Melody, I've heard this before, you know, I've been waiting for this to happen, you know, and I'm going to move on. That's the whole point when you buy gold and silver and your food and you're prepared. You get to move on. You get to live your life. You're prepared. You're prepared for anything that's going to happen. So why wouldn't you want to do that? But if you remain in the paper in the stock market, you have to watch the stock market every day. You have to worry about whether those, what's going to happen to your retirement account. I mean, you worry this and you worry there, you worry this. Quit worrying. Get it protected. Convert those paper dollars, those fiat dollars, into something that's real. That doesn't mean you have to pull it all out 100%. But that's what balance is all about. That's what the word means, balance. You should have a balanced portfolio. And certainly if you protect that, you know, people say, well, Melody, how much gold, how much of my assets should I have in gold and silver? And I'm not a financial planner. I'm not allowed to tell you, but I can give you, you know, some logic here, some common sense. And common sense always wins out no matter what. And I do believe, and the example I always give is, if you have a $500,000 home, why would you insure it for 5 or 10% of that? You wouldn't. You would insure it for the full amount. And that's what gold does. You want to insure your wealth with the full amount with gold and silver. So, you know, it should be a 50-50 type deal. And it's that simple. And people say, oh, that much? Well, I don't need to have that much. There's people out there that have been doing it and tell me only 5 or 10%. I say, what's the point? I mean, if you have considerable wealth and pensions and retirements and all this, what's the point of 5%? What's that going to do for you? How is that going to protect your paper assets?
Well, you know,
I think everybody's answer is no, it won't.
It won't. Just today, I was talking to a lady I've known for, oh my goodness, 20-some years. And she heard me, I was on the radio back in the 90s, talking to, different money experts, including Bob Chapman. And I said, you know, by the grace of God, Marsh and I are out of debt. We're not wealthy, but we're not behind anything. She said, just because you bought gold and silver back 20 years ago. She meant that as sincerely, but not as a snide remark, but as, hey, you did the right thing. I said, yeah, we did. But, you know, I said, it's not too late to do it now. She said, I'm broker now than I was back then. So, I mean, I tell them, I don't care if you only buy one silver dollar at a time. I've done that, Melody. One at a time when they were only like $5 a piece. One at a time adds up after a while, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does.
I would go to yard sales, buy one once in a while for sale. That's what I did. And over the years, I accumulated enough to pay off the house and land and get everything I did. And I'm not bragging. It's not nothing to brag about. It's just common sense. And she knows that. And I keep telling her that right now. Do it now. Don't wait. It's not going to get cheaper. So anyway, but she said, yeah, you did it because you bought gold and silver. Yep, I did. That's very true. How can I say? You may have saw this article. Recession odds soar to 70% in 2 years, according to J.P. Morgan. A lot can change in less than 2 months. Back on October 18th, when the initial market drop seemed like just another dip buying opportunity, JPM predicted that the odds of recession in 1 year were a modest 27.6%, rising to 60% if the forecast period is extended to 2 years. Not anymore, because according to JPM's latest real-time quant monitor, the risk of a recession has since spiked to a no longer trivial 35%, the highest series in history. It's up now to 70% chance of a recession within the next 2 years or less. This J.P. Morgan, that's not me making it up. This is what they said. And I don't think we have 2 years, do you?
Absolutely not. And, you know, I think their 2 years is in relationship to President Trump's time in office, because I really do believe whatever is going to happen is going to happen before the next campaign. And we have campaigns beginning in a year from now, less than a year. So I think, I think this is all going to happen in 2019. So we will be in a recession, and right now we're going into our break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Tell me again tonight.
Each and every heart is food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. What topic would you like to discuss, Butch? Are you there? Did we lose Butch? I think we might have lost Butch. So we'll let the producer bring bring him back on. You there?
Can you hear me, Todd?
I can hear you
I'm
now.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I don't know what happened. I don't know. But anyway, you wanted to cover a couple of things that I think are important. And I guess you heard that they're talking impeachment.
Yes.
Now, what's going to happen? I don't know. But they're talking it. And if it can't get him...
And we just keep losing him. Well, we'll just see if we can't bring him back on. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what was going on. Yes, you are.
Okay, I'm so sorry. That's our famous frontier internet. But anyway, so apparently they've come off Trump with every way they can. No doubt about that. And whether you agree with Trump or not, the man hasn't had a moment's peace since being...
I think we might have to get him by telephone if his frontier just keeps shrinking out. I don't know if Todd can do that here in the middle of the... All right, appreciate it. Then I will continue on. But it's interesting. I just wanted to touch a little bit about... I'm not going to talk about the impeachment until he gets back. I wanted to talk a little bit about France. And we all know about the riots that they've been having. And what's interesting is Macron is taking responsibility for their citizens' anger. And he actually acknowledged that he was partially responsible for the anger that fueled the weeks of protest in France. And he says, we probably have not been able for a year and a half to bring quick enough and strong enough responses. Well, heck no. They're asking him to get out of office. That's why he's coming back. That's why he's coming back and saying this. But he's actually, if I read this properly, and I'm not sure, he is promising tax relief, but he is also pleading with the country's employers to give their workers a bonus and also promise tax reduction, I guess, if they do this. So I found that kind of interesting.
By the way, Melanie, I'm back on the phone, but what's going on? Todd can hear me, but you couldn't hear me. I don't know what's going on.
No. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine. I can always hear you, and Todd can hear me, but you couldn't hear me. I don't know what happened.
But I was just talking about Paris and French and the French president, Macron, how he is pleading with the country's employers to give their workers a bonus. And he also promised a reduction in taxes in a bid to restore order after the demonstrations have, that we've seen during this past month with the Yellow Jackets. And he actually is taking, some of the blame. He's saying I haven't been able to work fast enough. And he's promised to speed up some tax relief. And he urged companies to give bonuses to struggling workers. My question is, who's going to pay for it?
Exactly.
You think You think these employers?
Well, the employers obviously can't or don't want to, and Macron has no business asking them to do anything. No. Macron is an arrogant little guy. He really is. I watched him on TV. He's very arrogant. But I think he's finished. I think the people are tired of him. I think they want him out of there.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, it doesn't matter who they put in there. They're still going to get the same. It's not going to change.
Well,
it can't change.
Are you seeing more of a move to nationalism now in other countries? And do you know that in Paris, now they don't show this on TV, but you can find online, that people are hollering they want Trump or something, they want somebody like Trump. Are you seeing that? I mean, Paris actually cheering for Trump.
Well, they actually thought that Macron was a little bit more conservative, but everybody always knew that he was his teachings came from Hollande, so I can't imagine. I mean, he went to all the elite schools and everything, so I don't know why he would be any different, but the people thought that he was. And but he is favoring the rich, and they feel that these they do want him out of there. But there isn't anything anybody else can do. It's not a lot. It's not much different than here. You know, there's some things that we can do, but until they fix their monetary policy.
Yes.
And with them being in the EU, this is all part of the European Union's collapse.
Well, now, as you know, they've more or less stalled the deal, the Brexit in England. So what's happening there? I mean, the people voted for this. May is going to abandon it, more or less. How did they get by with this?
Excuse me. Go ahead. I kind of lost my voice there, Butch.
Okay. Anyway, I mean, May is said that they're going to put this on hold, although people want it, and May has fallen out of great favor with the people. I don't know. The people voted for Brexit a couple years ago now, and it still hasn't happened. I know they're trying to figure out details how to make it work, but the people said do it, and now she says no, she don't want to do it. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's the same thing here, really. What have we done any different, really? What would we do if they cut our deal? They do it to us all the time, and no one says much about it.
Are
you back with me? Are you okay?
Yes, I am fine. Thank
okay.
you.
So anyway, that's just kind of, this is going to be frustrating for them just like it is here. But all this stuff with all this fiat currency, I don't care whether they're in the EU or they're independent, we'll call it sovereign if you want to. I don't care who they are. As long as you have fiat currency, you are not a sovereign nation. You cannot control your finances. Therefore, you can't feed yourself. Isn't that true?
That's absolutely true.
I don't know why people can't. After a while, if we just went to a fiat currency last year, then I can understand the confusion. But who knows what fiat currency is, Melody? Seriously, you walk into a business and ask them if they take Federal Reserve notes for payment. I'm serious. And take a look at their face when you ask them. Well, no, I don't think so. Then you show them the dollar bill and what's top of it. For just a few seconds there, you can actually tell them this is not money. This is a note. This is a debt instrument. It's not money. And then show them a silver dollar. You'd be surprised how many people may not really do anything about it, but you just give them about a 30-second education in economics. You still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So, I do that once in a while, and I'm amazed that the people actually respond to it, I'll say, in a favorable way. Well, I didn't know that. And they didn't know it. But now what they're going to do with it, who knows? But they can't say that no one ever told them. And I'll pass out your business cards. I do. Tell me, you need to call and say and discuss this in more detail. But they've dumbed the people down worldwide as a whole. All nations are now fiat that I know of. They've done them down for so many years with paper, that I don't know how we'd ever get them all back on board to understand about fiat currency. I don't think we ever could. Even America, we're so far down the tubes in this system that I can't see turning around this way. Now, I'll shut up and let you talk a minute. Go ahead. I didn't mean to take over your program.
Well, no, that's what you're here for. But no, it's absolutely true. You know, I mean, that money isn't taught in schools. You know, they're only taught to invest in the stock market, without an understanding of what actually money is. So, I mean, it's a lack of education. And I think there was one report many years ago that less than like 1% of the people truly understand what money is.
I'd say that's at least right.
And that 1%, those that understand money, are the ones that buy gold.
Well, you ask somebody to show you some money, they'll pull a bill out of their pocket. Then I'll pull out a silver dollar and explain the difference. And they absolutely are astounded. That's if I have time. I can't do it with everybody, obviously. But if I have time, that's what I do. It's a way of witnessing the people as far as real money. And actually, a Christian money. That's what is in the Bible, is real money, gold and silver. Mm-hmm. Now, before we run out of time, I do want to hit a couple more things here. You probably saw this. Russia and China both are getting a little bit pushy with militarily. Senior Chinese military official urges plan to attack U.S. naval vessels in South China Sea. Now, folks, this is for real, okay? This is the Taiwan News. In Taipei, Taiwan. At a conference held in Beijing on Saturday, Chinese government and military officials discussed issues in the South China Sea and the current state of relations between U.S. and China. Chinese media reports that the situation in South China Sea is expected to grow more intense over the coming year, with one senior military official also declaring that China should be prepared to attack United States naval vessels should the U.S. violate Chinese territorial waters. Dai Yu, who's the president of the Institute of Marine Safety and Cooperation, as well as a PLA Air Force Colonel Commandant, was quoted by the tabloid Global Times saying the following: "If the U.S. warships break into Chinese waters again, I suggest that two warships should be sent, one to stop it, another to ram it in our territorial waters. We won't allow U.S. warships to create disturbance." What do you think about that?
Yes. We live in dangerous times.
What would happen if they would ram a U.S. warship? Even though we're in Chinese waters, what would happen?
I'm not sure anymore. I mean, heck, I thought that there has been numerous acts of war previous to something like that. And, I don't know. It's very, you know.
It just shows the tension around the world. And this, another one I find interesting. Russia dispatching blackjack bombers to Venezuela. Russia is deploying nuclear-capable Tu-160 blackjack bombers to Venezuela this week as part of an increasing provocative pattern of bomber training flights, according to American defense officials. At least two blackjacks will fly out from its strategic forces air base in Russia to Venezuela as part of a series of training exercises that will include long-range refueling, said officials familiar with the Russian plans for the flight. So this is on our southern border now, so to speak. I mean, I don't know. Is it important enough to talk about? I really don't know. I mean, I don't know. But there's a lot of movement going on, and I don't think either one of these countries are just playing games. Do you?
No, I don't. And you know what's interesting? This week, the Senate is supposed to be having floor debates on a resolution that is going to challenge the legality of the U.S. war in Yemen. So I encourage all of you to, you know, call the senators, and we shouldn't be supporting. We shouldn't be paying.
We should support a lot of things.
Yeah, and so this vote is expected sometime this week. And I don't know why all of a sudden, you know, it's supposedly because all of a sudden now this Khashoggi, his murder, that's now all of a sudden, you know, the war in Yemen is, you know, all of a sudden on their, you know, front plate. And it's just sort of disgusting because it should have been on a front burner a long time ago.
Yeah.
And and probably just because of Khashoggi and because, you know, President Trump didn't want to, you know, put blame anywhere or so forth, it's probably the only reason why they're doing this. But it's something that should be done, and we shouldn't be there. So but you should call your senators. You can do this in the next few days before it comes up for a vote. And you can, the Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. So,
and we're still losing troops in Afghanistan. How long have we been over there trying to take over a country? How long a war has that been going on? How long has that been?
Too long. Too long.
Yeah, way too long. Way too long. I mean, while we're there, what is our goal there? To help them raise more poppy seeds? I mean, what is our goal there? I don't get it. What's our goal? In Vietnam, and don't talk about, folks, I've been there. Don't talk to me anything about Vietnam. We had no goal. They let us have a goal. They just want us to keep a stalemate going until they get tired of, people start getting tired of fighting over there, and they brought them home. That nation had nothing to gain. They lost everything because of us, and we lost 60,000 men in that war, and 6,000 more for suicide and other things since he got home. So what was the goal over there? There was no goal. People got rich from oil in that region. They got rich from heroin in that region. And I know personally, they flew it out in body bags and C-130s because I saw them do it. But what was the goal? To make a rich man rich and use our young men and women for cannon fodder. That's what it's all about. Now,
yeah,
I did my piece.
No, it is. And you know, Russia had to leave Afghanistan. They couldn't they lost that. They couldn't do anything there. They ended up leaving. They were smart enough to leave.
And they were the bad guys then, remember? Now we're over there and we're supposed to be good guys.
Yeah. So
I mean, I remember talking about them, you know, where the Russians should get the butt kicked to them along over there.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are over there and getting our butt kicked. Nobody seems to care.
But any final words for the few moments, Butch? We got about 20 seconds.
I don't want to say, Melody. I mean, I've told people this, and you have too, 1,000 times. But people call Melody, ask her about some prevention, what could happen in the future to protect yourself. Give her a call, 800-375-4188. Do that. Trust me as a friend. You'll not be sorry. You will not be sorry. 800-375-4188.
Thank you, Butch. You're going to join me tomorrow, and we'll both be back.
Yep.
Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.